This weekend, spring forward rather than fall back. The clocks are changing again, and amid a growing call to end that, where did daylight savings come from anyway? Well, let me explain.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Explain with Sean Defoe, where we break down something that's in the news to explain it, dissect it, and hopefully find out a few things you didn't know before. Don't forget to hit subscribe and share the episode on whatever platform you listen on. This week, it's daylight savings time, and depending on when you're listening to this, you might have moved to summertime already, or maybe you're gearing up to lose that hour of sleep over the weekend. But where did it all come from? Well, for that, we need to go back to the 18th century. The first recorded mention of a daylight savings idea was by one Benjamin Franklin. Yeah, the fella on the $100 US bill, founding father of America, liked to fly kites in thunderstorms. And one of the kites he flew came during his time as ambassador to France. Poking fun at that stereotype of the lazy French, he wrote a letter to the Journal of Paris saying he had been shocked when he was recently woken at 6 a.m. to find the sun already in the sky. And of course, there was a money angle to this. He suggested that if people rose with the sun and went to bed earlier in the evening, that they could save on expensive candles. Doesn't matter the era, really, is it? There always seems to be an energy crisis of some kind. So to encourage lazy lumps to get out of their beds, he proposed a tax on window shutters, a rationing of candles, and even that they would fire cannons in the street in the morning to get people out of bed with a literal bang. Now, that was in 1784, but it wasn't until a century later that the idea really began to grow wings. One of the main proponents of daylight savings time was a New Zealander who wanted it so that he would have more time to catch bugs. George Hudson was an amateur naturalist who, having started to work as a postal clerk, was annoyed at how little daylight he had to study creepy crawlies after finishing the day job. And he argued publicly and repeatedly that during the summer, the clocks should go back 2 hours. Not only to help with his passion, but that so people could make use of a longer period of daylight for cricket instead of catching crickets, gardening, cycling, any other outdoor pursuit that they wanted. Now, thankfully for him, he actually lived long enough to see New Zealand push the clocks back an hour a number of decades later. But what about closer to home? I mean, where did that push for daylight savings come from in Ireland and the UK? Well, we can thank a builder. In 1905, British builder William Willett was on his daily horseback ride to work when he noticed how many homes had shutters or curtains drawn against the morning light. And 2 years later, he produced a pamphlet called A Waste of Daylight, with opinions from eminent men, the press, etc. And he did have eminent men on his side at the time, saying that the clocks should go back and the people could make more use of daylight and go to bed earlier. Essentially, one Winston Churchill, he was a big supporter, saying future generations would raise statues of Willett and put sunflowers around those statues on certain days. I think he said the longest day of the year in June. Sherlock Holmes author Arthur Conan Doyle, he also backed the idea generally, but not necessarily Willett's version. Willett would have seen time put back by 20 minutes every Sunday for 4 Sundays in spring, and the opposite happen in autumn. Which sounds like a bit of a pain in the bum, to be honest. Not only do you have to change the clocks once, you have to do it 4 weeks in a row and for 20 minutes at a time. Conan Doyle, he thought that was a bit too cumbersome, like us. Maybe it was the Irish in a bit too lazy to do that. And he was one of the first to suggest moving time 1 hour on one day. So the version that we are familiar with now. Not everyone was in favour of the idea at the time. One letter to the Irish Times in the early 1900s raised the issue of what it might mean for court cases. And I quote,
"A sleepy plaintiff or complainant who arrives an hour after his case has been dismissed with costs may get a shock, while a defendant may also be dumbfounded to find an escort ready to march him off to undergo a month's hard labour for an offence to which he may have had a perfect answer.
And indeed, that did happen. When daylight savings was introduced in the United States, there was no requirement for all states to have the same time, which you can imagine led to appropriate chaos. And in one case, a man named Sam Cardinella, well, he was convicted of murder in Chicago in 1921 and sentenced to be hanged. "When am I going to be hanged?" he asked the judge. He was told that the time was Friday, April 15th at 8 a.m. And he asked, "Central Standard or Chicago time?" They replied, "Chicago time. It's in Chicago that you're going to be hanged." He said, "Yeah, but I was sentenced before the time was changed, and this rearrangement, it deprives me of an hour of life. That won't mean anything after I'm dead, but it will mean a lot on Friday morning." And he got his way. Still hanged, but hanged an hour later than he otherwise would have been. Now, in the UK, a bill was finally introduced into the House of Commons on the back of William Willett's campaigning, and the debate led to some rather dry exchanges. One opponent of the idea asked what would happen if he didn't put his clock back, and was told by the presiding minister he would miss his train. In the House of Lords, a Lord Balfour, he posed a riddle to the gathered politicians. "Twins born in October, one either side of the clock reverting to standard time. This would result in the younger twin technically being born before its sibling, which might result in difficulties with regard to inheritance of lands or titles." I've already got a headache thinking about the implications of that and what might happen. Ultimately, though, that bill was actually defeated, and several other attempts to pass daylight savings time in the sort of early 1900s, 1910 to 1915-ish, fell well short of getting the required support. Until it didn't. The outbreak of World War I changed many things across the world, but fuel rationing became one of the biggest problems for both sides. And on the 30th of April 1916, the Germans brought in daylight savings time in a bid to need less fuel because of brighter evenings. And so therefore, you're not expending as much energy, and it just helps the war effort. Just 17 days later, Britain and Ireland followed suit, and for the same reasons, the cause of the war. Now, fascinatingly, here in Ireland, that came less than a month after the Easter Rising, and there was a feeling that maybe the two were somewhat connected, that there was Ireland was being brought along by the British as an element of revenge, which we're going to get into in a second, because just a few months later, and tied to the same legislation, it saw the end of Ireland having its own time zone. From 1880 onwards, Ireland had operated on Dublin Mean Time, the time set based on when the sun was at its highest point, i.e. noon, at Dunsink Observatory north of Dublin. And that was, based on the sun, 25 minutes and 21 seconds later than Greenwich Mean Time and the time that London operated on. Now, this is actually pretty commonplace across the UK, rather confusingly. It meant that you had different times in different towns and cities, depending on how far east or west they were, and led to more courts confusion in the UK, train confusion in the UK of people missing their timetables. And really, as the train became a more dominant mode of transport, is when there was a bit more of a push to standardising time, even within a country, let alone talking about daylight savings time. So there was a time when official England operated off of London time, but many local areas had their own timekeeping. And there was an example of a court case in Dorchester in 1858, and that had quite a lot of consequences. The clock in the courthouse was set to Greenwich time, i.e. London time, but the clock in the town was set to local time. A case was set to begin at 10 a.m. The defendant arrived at the courthouse punctually by the town clock, only to find out that the judge had ruled against him in his absence, having begun the trial by the clock in the court. Now, he did appeal, and the decision was overturned. Another story from rural Ireland concerned a fellow called J.P. Mahaffey, appointed the provost of Trinity College in 1914. He missed a train in an unnamed town in rural Ireland because the clock outside the station told a different time to the one inside. And when he complained about this discrepancy to a local, he was told, "Sure, if they told the same time, there'd be no need to have two clocks." Now, the plan changed to bring Ireland in time with Greenwich met with opposition from Republicans, with William Field, an MP from Dublin, arguing that Dunsink time, i.e. Dublin time, was distinctly Irish due to the immutable laws of nature and declared the calls for it to be changed were as absurd as requesting a sun, moon and stars to be sent across the channel. It also interestingly meant that at that time, Cork was 9 minutes behind Dublin and Galway 11 minutes behind the capital, something I have no doubt people in Cork wouldn't actually mind a return to, though they'd probably argue they've always been 11 minutes ahead of Dublin anyway. Now, despite feeling it was further eroding chances of Irish independence and some MPs saying the difference was a reminder that heading into the UK, they were entering a strange country, Ireland lost its own time zone in October 1916. And after independence, there was actually very little push to claim it back, probably due to the practical benefits of being on the same time zone as our nearest neighbour and largest trading partner. Now that brings us nicely to today and the push from the EU to scrap daylight savings time. Fine Gael MEP Sean Kelly is one of those who wants to get rid of it.
Psychologically, once the clocks go back in October, winter comes in, so people have a longer nights. So in practice, they will put on the fire or the heating or whatever earlier, after an hour or two earlier. They're less inclined to go out. And then, of course, it continues in to the end of March, which is a very long period for basically sustained dark evenings, winter. And that is detrimental both financially, energy-wise, and also, of course, psychologically.
And it does look as though some change is coming and that the majority want it. Our reporter Josh Crosby has been canvassing opinion in Dublin.
It's a bit nonsensical. In fairness, I do think so. I think it should stay the same the way it is now.
So all year round the same time?
Yeah, absolutely now. Yeah, the way it is.
Split it half an hour in the middle and just leave it go for the rest.
I get a lie on sometimes.
They'll rub it back at Halloween. If I just cut it half an hour straight to the middle and just leave it, never change it again.
Well, I'd rather them stay the same all year round. No need, not in this day and age.
I'm just fed up with being late for work.
I do not like the hour less in bed. I don't like it at all.
I mean, that's the big one for everyone,
yeah. No, I definitely... I feel it. I do feel it. And especially with kids in the house and stuff.
They should stay the same time all year round?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it would be more convenient, easier to manage.
I don't like having to go about and change like the car clock and then the clocks in the house and stuff like that. It's just a real inconvenience.
It's an inconvenience. Yeah.
I like the way it goes back and forth. Except I didn't when I had babies, because that's always a problem. But now I look forward to it. And I even see my older boys are looking forward to it now because they keep saying, when is the clock going forward?
And wait, what is this that you...
The bright evenings.
The bright evenings, longer days.
Longer days, absolutely. I'm a summer girl.
So you're looking forward now to be going around the house, change them?
No. First of all, the clock is always fast.
So how fast would it be now?
About 10 minutes.
10 minutes?
Yeah, and sometimes I'm nearly half the year that I haven't changed the clock at all. And I'm looking at the clock and people are saying, we don't have to. And I'd say, no, it's 3:30, I just haven't changed it. And it kind of goes on for so long that then it's like, oh, why would I change it now? Because the clocks are going to go forward.
But you're never late.
Well, I wouldn't say that. Ask my husband. He'd say I am.
Personally, I don't know. There's something I like about daylight savings. It feels like, you know, spring has sprung and winter is formally here when it gets brighter in the evenings or darker. It kind of marks the change of seasons particularly well for me. Now, of course, the other knock-on effect is that it would mean we were on a different time to the UK for half the year. So you would gain or lose an hour when you cross the border into Northern Ireland. And certainly that would be pretty weird going from Dundalk to Newry and going back or forward in time. Particularly if you worked across the border, you can only imagine the headache if you set the alarm and then you wake up and you're trying to remember, God, what? Did I set that on Northern time? Did I set it on Republic time? Making sure you got there, you can just see the nightmare that it was. But other countries, if you look at Spain and Portugal, they're in different time zones with a much longer border than us, and it doesn't seem to be a massively big issue for anyone but tourists if they just get used to it. And one thing locals also seem to say is it partly explains why the Spanish eat so much later than the rest of us. They're actually eating in line with the seasons, but the clocks don't match that. So a lot of people in the Iberian Peninsula would actually sit down to their dinner at the exact same moment, just different times. Anyway, that is the origins of the change in time zones and of daylight savings time, which may or may not last all that much longer, the 110th anniversary of daylight savings time next month. Thank you very much. Will it make 111? We wait and see. A British builder, an insect lover from New Zealand, and Benjamin Franklin. Bet you didn't have that on your daylight savings bingo card. That's it for this episode of Let Me Explain. There will be another in your feed tomorrow, and after that, I'll chat to you next week.